I think that how we want to begin is at the beginning. I hope you can hear me. Am I talking loud enough? I think we're all aware that there always has been, always will be a beginning. But there is also always an end. From the beginning, there was an end that was planned. And it hasn't changed. Many thousands of years have come and gone. And it seems like of late I've been speaking about generations. I've been speaking about different phases of our life because I'm very conscious of the phase I have come to. When we're young and in a different phase of life, life is full and we are full of activity and you know what you're full of today in your life. You are living every day, and you know, we have heard messages about the end, and I'm not preaching on the end this morning. Well, maybe I am, to a degree. But we've always had it in our mind there is an end. And we know not when that is. We've been told that. And but there's been many generations come and go. And time is still moving on. Is time moving fast for you? It's hard for me to take in that this year is almost over. But I'm seeing not just older people sensing and feeling the speed of time, but young people are. I heard that Brother Austis preached this, that the closer that we come to the end, and he spoke of it in light of a waterfall. And if you've ever been to the Niagara Falls, you can really relate. The water way up the stream almost looks like it's not moving. And then the closer you get to the brink of the fall, the faster it goes. And in reality, there are people that have fallen in that could not be recovered. It was so swift. But he likened that to the closer we get to the end of time, the faster time goes. I don't know that the clock moves any faster, but something happens in our daily lives and in our activities, and you get up in the morning and prepare, and you men that go to a job or anyone that has activities planned that day, they take care of that, and before you know it, it's time to go to bed again. It's dark. So time is moving very swiftly, and we want to avail ourselves of all of the time that we have, don't we? I mentioned about the phases of life, and I look across the congregation here today, and I see that there are different phases. Young people, little children, and those that are approaching, oh, you're already adults. But you're entering a phase. And when you pass through that phase and whatever, I mean, I can't identify every phase, but there are phases that we go through. And all of a sudden, one day, you wake up and you say, I am 60 years old. Or I am 70. Or I am 80. And that's a phase of life. So, last Sunday I spoke concerning wisdom. I'm just going to paraphrase a little bit of that to tie it in with what we have on our heart this morning. And we spoke of Solomon. He wasn't the only topic of the message, but he was a main topic. And he was an example because God gave him a dream and offered to do for him whatever he asked. And he said, well, I want wisdom to lead your people. And it pleased the Lord so much that God said, I'm going to give you not only wisdom, but you'll receive honor. You'll receive understanding, and you will be the wisest man, I think, in the earth. Among all of the kings, he was the wisest. In his young life, God demonstrated the wisdom that he gave, and it was evident. And he wrote the book of Proverbs. And we emphasized that the key word in the book of Proverbs was wisdom. Time went on for him, and something happened in his life. I want to tell you, every phrase of your life, every season of your life, can either draw you closer to God or farther from him. Your reactions to time, to life, to the events of life, to the things that happen to you in life, can determine your end and my end. And so this is just the truth of the matter. But Proverbs is still here for us to read and study and learn. There was more that I gave concerning that, but then we spoke of the book. Because he wrote it also, Ecclesiastes. In the other books that he wrote, he identifies himself as the writer, but not in Ecclesiastes. He identified himself as a preacher. And there was a word that stood out in all of the book of Ecclesiastes. What's that central word? Vanity. All is vanity. Now, he surely has learned something from his youth, and he surely was able to say, I've made a bad mistake. What I read was that this word preacher, it had another word for it, and that word was represented or meant repenting soul. So when he was writing Ecclesiastes and looking back and seeing the choices that he made and it was wrong, and do you think that Solomon wasn't somehow repenting for the choices that he made? I think he was. And it's a comfort to me. But he comes down to the very final chapter. And that's what we want to talk about again today. He addressed that final chapter to young people because he was remembering that phase of his life. He made wise choices when he was young. Young people, you're making some choices right now, and I see some wise choices. I see some examples that pleases my very heart. Don't you? In our young people. Keep doing that. Keep making wise choices. So in the end of this Ecclesiastes, he says, remember something. Remember your Creator. In the days when you're young, let it always go with you. Let it always stay with you. That you're going to answer to God. Because it comes down to the end and says, now we hear the conclusion of the whole matter. And the conclusion is, if you will remember your Creator all down through all of the phases of your life, I could name some phases here. There's young families here with little children to raise. And then there are those that are young grandparents. And then there are those that have gone beyond that. So we need to remember something as we go from one phase to another in life, because there is a last phase. So here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. This is the whole duty of man. So that's our little introduction today. And we want to read a scripture in Hebrews 3 and 14. And it says, we are made partakers of Christ. If, and I circled the word if. It's conditional. If is a word that makes my choice a condition. If we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. So the scripture points us to a beginning, and it also mentions that there's an end. There is a common scripture that we all know. He that endureth to the end will be saved. I use that in my prayer nearly every day. I haven't reached the end. I still have some endurance. You that are young, you have what you might call life ahead of you. And there's going to be a lot of things to endure, to go through. Battles. We call them battles. because we have to do some fighting. As we go through every phase, we have to do. Endurance represents something that I have to resist. If the word of the Lord did not give us instructions of how to approach and fight our battles, what would we do? How would we know how to fight? I can't remember if it was in last Sunday's Sunday school lesson. I think it was. It was something about teach my fingers to fight and my hands to war. There are some things we learn along the way. And I know that we're all sheep, and I know that we're sheep of his pasture and he is the shepherd, but I want to tell you he's also our great captain. He is the one that's going to lead us and teach us. And when you come to those hard places and you don't know what to do, and the enemy is attacking you, and you feel oppressed, and I'm not going to use the word similar to that, because he is not only an oppressor, he is a depressor. And it doesn't matter what phase in life that you are, you can be young. And the enemy loves to attack. But the word of the Lord, our captain, has given us weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Oh, we may have to fight until we pull them down, and we may have to resist, and we may have to use the word of the Lord. We do have to use the word of the Lord. When the word says, if the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Believe it. And use it and practice it and speak the words. Speak the word of God out loud. It's effective. When it says that the enemy is going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, believe that. But go to the next step. Resist the devil and he will flee, and believe that. God's word doesn't change. So every phase of life that you will face until you are at the end, you will use these weapons of warfare. And our captain will help us through, thank the Lord. But you're going to have to endure some things to be saved. I read this statement and it left an impression on me. It says, it is the last step that wins. You that are young, you haven't reached the last step yet. And I haven't either. It goes on and it said, it is holding on for the last half hour. That's what it means to endure. Holding on for the last half hour. It is the last step that wins. You and I have been admonished down through our phases of life. Count the cost. Don't ever lose sight of counting the cost of eternal life. You're going to have to pay the price. Oh, but salvation is free. It is, but it's also up to me and my choice in counting the cost of it. It's going to cost me everything. Nobody likes to hear that, do they? But we had in our Sunday school this morning about the one lost sheep, but you go over a little bit, and I think one of the young people gave the scripture about, let me think now, it has slipped my mind. What?
Jeremiah 29.
What does it say?
No,
that wasn't it. It speaks about
Joel.
Seems like it was him. What was your verse?
It was about selling all.
Selling all, that was it. Could you probably turn back over there and read that for me?
And again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to treasure hid in a field.
Yes.
The which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field.
Did he have to pay anything? Was it free? Salvation is free for the taking, for the receiving. But if you receive it and you take it, it's going to cost you everything. Doesn't sound too good, does it? But it pays off in the end when you take that last step. When you've endured that last half hour of your life, you'll be glad. You'll rejoice. The song says about keeping the faith. When the day on earth is done, and you see, my phase of life affects me. It does. You'll rejoice. You did your best. For this day of perfect rest, keep the faith. That's what we're striving for. But count the cost. Don't think you're going to get by on flowery beds of ease. Haven't we heard that phrase down through our life? I want to tell you, the straight and the narrow way has a high price. Pay it. Pay it. Count the cost. Sell all that you have and go out and buy that pearl of great price. You'll be glad. You'll rejoice that you did. So, do you want to finish? Do you want to finish the race? I'm going to read over in 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And it's all familiar to us. We're not here. We're not unlearned. We're speaking the same language. We're speaking what is our vocabulary. But the 9th chapter, Paul likened the life of the Christian to a race. Now, I've never been, as a young person, I was not good at racing. I don't think I ever won a race. which is beside the point. But this is one race I plan to win. This one is different. In a race, there is a starting point. And everyone is lined up at the starting point. Now, we are not in competition with each other. But we're going to have to run. So no matter who we are today, no matter what phase, the race started somewhere in your life. Partly it started with the teachings and the wisdom that Solomon gave, and that we would be successful in this life to the end. So in the 24th verse of the 9th chapter, it simply says in the last part of that verse, "So run that ye may obtain." Yes. The 25th verse says, and I paraphrase some of this, I put it in my own words, people run races in this life, and what are they hoping to win? A crown. And the scripture calls it corruptible. It's not going to last. It's just temporary. It's just to satisfy me for the moment. But it goes on and it says, but we run to obtain an incorruptible crown.
Yes.
That made me think of the scripture that says, let no man take thy crown. I really don't think that you can keep me from winning my crown. You may wound me. You may disappoint me. You may offend me. And the scriptures plainly informs us it's impossible, but that offenses are going to come. Expect them. Don't let them destroy you. Go to the one that can help you rise above those things. And we had this, I think, in Sunday school also. Forgive. Who benefits forgiveness? I do. When I forgive, I'm the benefactor. Oh, we might say, but others benefit too. Yeah, they do. They will. How many of us love to be forgiven? We like for others to forgive us. But I want to tell you, because Jesus said it, if you forgive, you're going to be forgiven. And that's the greatest benefit of all. Thank the Lord. So we are running today to obtain an incorruptible crown. And I could take that scripture and say, let no man take thy crown. But I could also add in there and not take away from the meaning of it. Don't let anything take your crown. Yes. Brother Souter used to tell us this story. I'm going to share it this morning the best I can. He told about two men in a race. And it must have been not a short race. It was a... Did you know what you're in is a long-term race? It's not a 100-yard dash. Well, these two men were in a race, and one was doing pretty good, and the other was a little bit behind. The one that was lagging decided to make some kind of a noise that would distract this man. And so he started grunting with every step. You heard this story. It's an old story. The man that was ahead began to listen to the grunts. And it slowed him down. And the finish line came, and the other man shot across the line. That's a distraction. I want to tell you, in this race, there's going to be distractions. There's going to be things that the enemy will use to try to distract you from winning the race. Well, again, I want to say, don't let anything distract you. You'll lose your crown. I'm going to read Hebrews 12, and 1-3, very familiar scriptures. I think what we're doing today is trying to remind us in the cares of life. And the Bible teaches us about the cares of life and what they will do to us. Be careful about the cares of life. Don't be so wrapped up in your job. Now, I haven't had a job like you men. And you have a charge from God to supply for your family, to go out and work by the sweat of your brow. That's a charge. And it's not wrong for you to do that. It's right. You're pleasing God when you obey the scriptures and supply for your family and do what he's commanded you to do. And the same, I've already preached this, the mothers, the wives, those that are taking care of a household. And the commandment was to love your husband and love your children. When you do that, you're obeying God. It all works together. And it fits together. So, in this particular, it says, wherefore, seeing ye also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Who's been a witness in your life? Did anybody... We had a Sunday school lesson last Sunday on influence. There are people that have influence. If you're here and you are saved, someone influenced you this way. You believe that? Somebody was an example, and it spoke to you, and it ministered to you, and it drew you. And what does the scripture say? God says that we can't be saved unless he draws us. What does he do? He uses those examples, those great cloud of witnesses, people that went before us, that lived this life. And we looked on and we watched it and we saw the benefit of it. And we said, that's what I want. Did you ever do that? I did. And I told it in Sunday school last Sunday. Well, it goes on and it says, we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Then it says, let us lay aside every weight. Are there weights? Can there be weights in our life that can affect us and hinder us? Face the truth. It can happen. Be sensitive. Be sensitive when you feel you're cooling off. When you feel like I'm not quite as, well, you know how I've been praying for myself? I've been saying, Lord, help me to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I was feeling a lack of not exactly hungering and thirsting like I may have once felt. Seek the Lord. When you sense that you're cooling, what does the scripture say about the one that's lukewarm? He said, I want you to be hot. Or if you can't be hot, you be cold. At least you'll know where you are. But don't be lukewarm. Lukewarm will cause you to fall asleep spiritually. So it goes on and it says, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Do you ever commit a sin? That's a very unpopular topic. And it should be. Because we teach and believe that we can live free from sin. Yes. Remember, you have an adversary. Remember that there are temptations. And if you grow lukewarm, you can fall into a sin. Now, the scripture does say that there is a sin unto death. And there is a sin not unto death. When the Spirit of the Lord, our captain, begins to reveal to me, you're not hungering and thirsting like you once did, take note. Don't just, well, I'm 80 years old now. It's different. Don't do that. I know this is a very, and I'm not expecting you to understand it. But if I feel a conviction of something that can turn into sin, I acknowledge it. I've told it here before. Oh, God is so righteous. To show us. Listen to him. It was a cold, dreary day about like today. We had had all day meeting. We didn't have even this many in service that day. I was down. And I went home, went to my bedroom, didn't even turn on the light. I was feeling so sorry for myself. And the phone rang. And it was somebody from another congregation. And oh, they had had a house full. And people went to the altar. and people came in off the street, and it was a glowing report. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "You are jealous." Now, is jealousy sin? It can be. When the Lord spoke it to me, I knew it was true. I was jealous of another congregation because they had something we did not have that day. Then the devil jumped on me. I want to tell you, when sin is lurking around, look for the devil to use it. "You're going to be depressed for the rest of your life," he said. I curled up in the bed. I was weeping. Oh, I knew I was jealous. And the thought came to me, you have to expose it to break it. I called Lauren in. I said, and I opened my mouth and couldn't say it. I couldn't confess it. Finally, I said, "I'm going to be depressed for the rest of my life." He says, "You're not going to be depressed. The Lord delivered you from that." And then I said, "I'm jealous." He and I went to the sofa, we got down, and I repented. Now that's how it did not become a sin unto death. Don't let something linger around and get rooted down in your life, and then you have that battle. Repent. That's how we all live free from sin. When the enemy comes around and presents something to you that is sin, repent. God forgives. Oh, thank the Lord. He is a gracious and a merciful God. But it says we're to lay aside the sin that so easily doth beset us. And then we are to run with patience the race that is set before us. And then we're to be looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy of the moment, or the joy that is set before us. Do you think that Christ had joy of the moment? Or did he have his eye set on the joy that was set before him? Keep your eye on the goal. And then for the joy that is set before him, endure the cross, despising the shame. And he is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners. And then it ends in that verse, lest ye be wearied in your mind. There's things that can weary us in our mind. Be alert to it. Be awake that I can be wearied. That's another part of my prayer every day. Help me not to be weary in well-doing, for in due season I shall reap if I faint not. This is part of the race. Well, I'm going to end now. I'm going to end with the statement that I read. It is the last step that wins. It is the holding on for the last half hour. And then I'm going to give again Hebrews 3:14. And I'm going to say, remember this. We must hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. pray for me that I will be steadfast to the end. Amen.